Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Now let me ask you a question. Do you remember the Supremes? Well, I'm from Detroit, and I sure do, and everyone from my generation and beyond remembers them. Tell me, can you imagine what it would be like to visit with the incredible Mary Wilson of the Supremes? We will be doing that today. Have you ever wondered what happens when you are 20 years old and become very, very famous with a number one record? What it does to your life? Now, would you like to learn what happens when young girls from Motown, Detroit, make it big, and I mean really big? Tell me, have you ever heard of two books? One book is called One Door Closes, and this book has a chapter in it about Mary Wilson entitled Stop and Be Silent. Also, Mary Wilson has a book, Dream Girl, My Life as a Supreme. Now would you like to meet Mary Wilson, and we'll get some of the answers that we're looking for today. If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Now are you ready to learn how to be successful with Mary Wilson, Tom Ingrassia, and Jared Kudimski? Today I'll be introducing you to my two co-hosts and their guests. I'm pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk for Media and syndicated at iHeartRadio with over 55 million subscribers. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure at iHeartRadio. Our show has now had over 3.4 million listeners to date. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the No Wine Zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now I'd like to introduce Tom Ingrassia so he can start our wonderful interview with Mary Wilson. Hi, Tom. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, January. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. Well, let's get right into it. And okay. Mary, we are so pleased to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us. And I think what everybody wants to know is, what is your secret? How do you do all the things that you do? I mean, you're 71 years old, and you're proud of being 71 years old. You don't look a day over 40. You've been in show business for over 55 years. You're a grandma. You travel all over the world. You just got back from Australia. You were in England earlier this year. You'll be back in England later in the year. You're performing. You're acting. You're lecturing. Your schedule would wear out someone half your age. How do you do it? What's your secret?
Oh, well, first of all, let me say hello to everyone, and I'm happy to finally be here with you. and you know, it's not a secret, really. In fact, I'm still exploring my life, and I think that's basically what it's all about. I believe that life is one of those things that we are never given a book to say, this is what you do in life. And so my entire life, my secret, if you want to say, is always having to explore who I am and what makes me happy and how I can make other people happy. So I guess if you were, since you say secret, I'll put it that way. But for me, it's not a secret. It's just enjoying my life. I enjoy doing what I do for a living, let's say. But also, I was very blessed to have started out at a very young age. Four of us actually, Supremes Primet started when we were like merely teenagers, just barely teenagers. And so I found out at that early age that I loved being an entertainer. I loved being, singing. And so that's kind of my secret, is enjoyment. Mm-hmm. I totally enjoy what I do, and I'm blessed to have found that. A lot of people search their entire lives and never find out what makes them truly happy and still have a living, make a living. That's part of it as well. Right? So, and so what we do, what we do is we save up for our vacations. Well, I'm very lucky that I have a vacation every time I go out to perform, because I travel, as you mentioned earlier. I travel all over the world, and that's what I've always, when I was a young girl reading fairy tales, I really always read about travel and just imagined myself in these places, and so that's what I'm doing. So I'm doing, my dream has come true, let's put it that way. That's my secret.
And that's such a great secret to have,
Well, Mary, this is Jared. I'm so glad to finally get to talk to you too. And I'm going to throw you.
Sorry, it's my little puppy.
Thomas told me a million things about you, but I'm just going to throw you a softball question here. What was it like being in the Supremes? You know, you were just 20 years old when you had your first number one record, but it's basically your whole life. You've been singing, you've been performing. What was it like to be part of something that was so successful?
Well, that's several questions. Sorry, my puppy all of a sudden starts barking. several questions. And the earlier days, you're speaking about when we became famous, but really, for me, the earlier days before we were famous was the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I had so much fun becoming famous, let's say. Once we became famous, it was more work. It was not as fun as it was in the very beginning. But having said all that, when we became famous, it was like it was a fairy tale for me. it was a dream come true at a very, very impossible time. I mean, we became famous when the Civil Rights Bill had only just been passed. We weren't even considered, citizens, so to speak. Segregation was still in place. So when we became famous, it was really true, and I'm sure that most people have this idea of, God, if I could just do that and become whatever it is, I'd be so happy. Well, that happened to us. I became very, very happy. But as I said, it was even before we became famous, because for me, that struggle towards, some people think that the goal is what's more important. Well, for me, the journey is the thing that really is not only so much fun, because you're young. When you're young, you don't have the house notes and the income taxes and all those kind of things to pay. So you're carefree, and you're able to really allow your mind and everything just to be happy. And that's kind of what it felt like for me.
Mary, this is January here, and we were both Detroit girls. And let's
talk
a little bit.
Where did you grow up in Detroit? Where did you grow up?
I grew up near University of Detroit, 6 Mile.
Oh, okay. Okay,
yeah,
6 Mile. Yeah. I finally, I bought a house there in that area.
Really?
Later on Petoskey and Dexter, it was off of Dexter.
Okay.
Yeah, and Finkel, I think it was 5 Mile. So, it's amazing how the world has become so small, right? Here we are now.
Yeah. Do you ever get back to visit?
I'm getting ready to go back now. In fact, I just spoke to my oldest and dear friend, and I do say older because she's older than I am, Jackie Burks. She and I have been friends since I remember I was like 7 years old, and we were sitting on the steps, and we were talking about, you know, music was becoming popular, and we were talking about all this, the great things about life. And so I'm coming to Detroit in August to do a gig. And so, of course, I called her and said, Jackie, I'm coming into town. You know, can we get together? She said, yeah, girl, let's do it. And we've remained friends all these years, but I have relatives there, you know, and of course, Motown is there. So, and I'm doing this show with the Four Tops, so I'll be able to see not only dear friends, but family and fellow entertainers.
Oh, my gosh, what fun that'll be. I get back for the class reunions. I'm not going to tell you how many years because I'm much older than you by probably 1 year.
Yeah, that's okay. You know, but, you know, it's the way I look at it is like I'm 71, but you turn around, it's 17 backwards. I mean, I remember my mother asking my mother, she was like 85 years old, and I asked her, well, Mom, you know, how do you feel? She said, well, I feel like I'm 15. You know, and I totally understand that, you know, when they say young at heart, that's the kind of thing that keeps you, and when I say young, keeps you young, I mean, you know, trying to be 21 again, and I'm not trying to be 21. I am happy to be 71, but I'm still a kid at heart. I mean, I'm taking acting classes now here in L.A. where I am. I'm always studying. I love to study. And so we have to pretend like imagine when we're young. And so I'm finding it a little difficult now to actually act like a young kid because, you know, you spend all this time trying to become 21 and become an adult. and so you kind of lose that little childlike thing inside you. And so now I'm having a little trouble in my acting classes going back to being little Maymay, who I was when I was 7 years old. But, you know,
that is such a clever, clever answer. So that would make me 27 backwards, and
See?
That sounds so
See?
Much better than 70.
Isn't that great? And you're not lying to yourself. You still are, you know, whatever you are. You're a little dyslexic, maybe. You know, it could be that as well.
that makes me 93, though, guys. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, sometimes it doesn't work.
Mary, let me ask you a question about Detroit. And, you know, I've been back through the years, and sometimes it's been very depressing because things have been very tough for some of our family and friends there. What do you think about Detroit recapturing its former glory, which it really had when we were growing up?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Detroit was a wonderful city, and I'm so happy to see that people are really trying to bring in more work and just rebuild the city. I'm happy to see that. But as you said, it's very disappointing when a city that, first of all, Detroit was so great in terms of education. I mean, the educational system when we were there in the 60s was just great. Some of my best moments were in school. I can still remember teachers. One of my greatest teachers was Mr. Boone. He was an English teacher. And let me tell you, Mr. Boone was one of those guys that he's the guy that everyone talks about. All the students says, he'll fail you if you don't do this or whatever he said, but yet still everyone loved him. And I remember when I first went there in the ninth grade, he said, Miss Wilson, I understand you're singing with this little group called the Primettes. And you think you're a star. Well, we'll see how much of a star you are when I get you in my class, and I will have you in my class. I was in every one of his English classes throughout high school. But Mr. Boone was the one who put the idea in my head to become a writer. Because in the 12th grade, when I was in the 12th grade, he said to me, you know, Miss Wilson, if you still want to be singing in this group, he says, you better pass my class. He says, well, right now it doesn't look like you're going to pass. Well, he was kind of testing with me. But anyway, so I buckled down and I wrote this great paper, thesis or whatever you want to call it, and turned it in. And he gave me an A++++.
Wow.
And he said, Ms. Wilson, and I thought he was going to say I had failed or something. He says, this paper is brilliant. You should become a writer. Well, that's when I got the idea to write my books. I started keeping a diary, a journal, right then and there from Mr. Boone. So we had great teachers. Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
That's a fabulous story. And, you know, actually, as I'm hearing you speak about your school, I probably wish I had gone to that high school. I think I would have had more fun. I ended up in an all-girls Catholic school wearing a uniform, so I didn't have that much fun. But we're going to have fun right now listening to our sponsors. We'll be right back with Mary Wilson from the Supremes.
Do you want to learn how to live into your dreams? One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. The new book by Tom Ingracia and Jared Kredemski captures the thought-provoking stories of 16 people from all walks of life who have triumphed over adversity to achieve their goals. Plus, you'll get 10 self-assessment tools to design your own blueprint for success. Unlock your true potential. Fulfill your dreams. Be inspired. One Door Closes is available from Amazon.com. Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Millard, the great success creator. Miles is a two-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Whine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Whine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Tom Ingracia, Mary Wilson, and Jared Kredemski. Jared, would you like to start off this segment, please?
Sure. So, Mary, you contributed a chapter to our book, and thank you very much, by the way, because that was awesome. And it's titled Stop and Be Silent, and it was actually one of the most inspirational chapters in the book for me. But what does that philosophy mean to you, stop and be silent, and how has it helped you in your life?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's amazing because we do have a lot of chatter from so many areas, you know, the television, the telephone, music and all kinds of things. And so very seldom I think that a lot of people take the time and just sit and quietness, you know, just to be quiet. I, fortunately or unfortunately, started my life out like that. When I was a young kid, my parents were always working, and so I spent many, many hours by myself, and I became very comfortable with silence. And I found throughout the years that it's been those moments when I really moved forward. And even before I knew I was moving forward, I mean, I was kind of like just thinking. I discovered the world. I discovered God. I discovered all kinds of things, you know, my little mind. And I look back and I say, oh, my God, I really was, you know, really a great thinker. But it always happened when it was quiet. So I just think that's something that we as people need to learn how to be more comfortable with no noise, just sit, you know, even if you take a couple of minutes per day and just sit and just listen to your own mind. Even, you know, I realized that when I was married, you know, and with friends, there's always chatter, and you hear other people's thoughts. But when you're silent or quiet, you get a chance to really hear your own thoughts, and it's just amazing. It's a beautiful, beautiful sort of meditation with God, I would say.
Yeah, and Mary, this is Tom, and that's and in the work that Jared and I do together, with our clients, it's exactly that philosophy of yours that you know we share with people. We tell people, make sure each and every day you take some time just to go inside yourself and to mm-hmm. focus on, you know, where am I right now? What things are important to me? What are my goals and my dreams and my hopes and my aspirations? And that is, you know, it is so important. And you're right. It's something that we don't do enough of because there's so much. Life is just is so hectic. We don't take that time to step back and just be silent and reconnect with ourselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I think we've touched on some of this already this evening. But you know, what motivates you to get out of bed every morning? You know, what is it that excites you so much that you can't wait to jump out of bed and get the day started?
Well, life.
you're alive.
You're alive. You're breathing. Thank God. But. I've always been in awe of life. I mean, that's just kind of who I am. And I think of a lady that I admire very much. I don't really know her personally, but she played a big part of me visually kind of seeing myself outside of myself, and that was Doris Day. And I know that's odd, you know, I mean, I'm a black woman, but she's white, blonde, but she was always cheerful, and she was always happy, and it was like Sammy Davis, every time she'd open the refrigerator, she'd start singing, and so that's kind of the way I've always been my entire life. That's who I really, if I had to draw a picture of who I was, that would be the picture that I would draw, because I have always, as I can remember since a child, just been in awe of everything. I mean, I would stare at the sky for hours, the clouds, and everything was so beautiful and so, it was just like just great. So what gets me up is that I'm just in awe of this thing that we call life, and it's amazing to me that we don't have the answers that we probably should have to make our lives better. It all depends on where you were born, how much money your parents had when you were born. You know, a lot of different things come into play. And I think we're born as perfect little human beings, but then the environment and other things kind of taint what we and who we are, and we lose sight of the beauty that's out there. I mean, I'm looking out the window now, and I see these beautiful palm trees here in Los Angeles, and it's just, they're absolutely gorgeous. So I that gets me up, that I really still just love life, and I think that, as I mentioned earlier, the journey, the fun of the, I like to play going to wherever I'm going. You know what I mean? Before I go on stage, I have me a little champagne. And when I used to smoke cigarettes, this is a bad thing. But I'd have me a little cigarette and my little champagne, because I thought I was Betty Davis as well. You know, Peter Dolly. You know, not you learn that, oh, well, it wasn't very good. But, you know, it was just this is the excitement of being here. I can't figure out how people cannot get that. And this is when, you know, we come back, we don't know what we're coming back as or if we come back at all. So, I mean, why not take this beauty and enjoy it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, Tom, let me ask you something. You know, Tom, because, you know, you used to work with me for years. Have you spoken about that?
I've spoken with January and some of her previous shows, uh-huh. but, yes, I mean, you have been so influential in my life, and just quickly to tell a little bit, you know, I
take it, Tom, down, it's your life. Take it.
You know, yeah, I mean, you know, I had this dream when I was a little kid of meeting the Supremes, and all of a sudden, not only did I meet you, I ended up working for you, and you're really the one, Mary, and I have to say this, you're the one who told me to believe in my dreams and to believe in myself. And, you know, as I look back now on my life, everything that I've been able to achieve in my life, I trace back to that childhood dream. And to you then helping me to realize, you know, as you say, that dreams do come true. And I think that is something that so many people today have kind of lost sight of.
To me, I believe in miracles. You know, every day, it's just, when I wake up, it's a miracle. You know, and I think of how many times that, you know, maybe that something else could have happened and I would, you know, not be here today. So it's a miracle. We should believe in miracles. We should, you know, believe that our dreams come true. And it's a wonderful thing.
We'll be right back with Mary Wilson from the Sabrines.
Are you living the life you always wanted? Is your relationship fulfilling or a constant roller coaster ride? Do you know how to chart your own path? If you are sick of struggling, overwhelmed, stressed, but desire balance, emotional freedom, and a purposeful life, then it's time to try something that really works. Dr. Casey's unique result-oriented emotional mastery technique will teach you how to be your own therapist while empowering you to be your best. Learn more at drsimoncasey.com. That's drsimoncasey.com. Where does all the money go? Surely you should have more to show for all the work you do. And what about the future? Heck, what about next week? Chris Miles to the rescue. Chris is a cash flow expert and the financial advocate for the entrepreneur with a reputation of getting his clients fast, life-altering results right now, not 25 to 40 years from now. Let Chris Miles show you how to quickly free up and create more cash flow with results you can enjoy today, not tomorrow. Visit MoneyRipples.com. That's MoneyRipples.com. Visit today, not tomorrow.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions.
Welcome back. This is January Jones, and we're pleased to have three priceless personalities visiting with us today. Mary Wilson of the Sabrines, Tom Ingracias, and Jared Kaminsky. You know, before we go to your website information, Mary, I want to share with you that when I was a teenager in Detroit, every teenager I knew smoked.
Oh yeah. Everybody spoke back in those days.
Yeah.
My phone is dying. I can't get
it. It took me a long, long time to quit. And Tom, do you want to start by sharing your website information, and then we'll share Mary's information?
Sure. And people want to find out more about the MotiveAct Group. The website is MotiveActGroup.com, and it's MOTIV as in Victor, ACTgroup.com, and you can find all sorts of information there, and you also can contact me directly through the website, and those requests come directly to me, and you will get an answer from me personally.
Wonderful. And Mary, would you share the date for your concert in August in Detroit?
Well, yes, I'll be at the, where would I be? I don't know where I'll be in Detroit. In August 8th, I do know. It's in Dearborn.
Okay.
And it is with the Four Tops and myself. I think there's another act on there, too. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it may be a private date, so I'm really even – that's why I don't have all the information in front of me.
Okay.
Yes.
And Tom told me that you're working on a new CD, and you're also working on a book about all the Supreme's fabulous gowns. Could you tell us a little bit about those projects?
Yes. Well, the thing is, my gowns book, it's a coffee table book, and it's based upon all of the Supreme gowns, which mm-hmm. will... they have been touring around the world, actually. In fact, it was curated by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. That currently, the gowns are currently in here in L.A. at the Grammy Museum. So my coffee table book will be, you know, pictures of all the wonderful gowns and the TV shows that we wore them on. So I'm really, really happy about that. But, you know, I've been working on this book for quite a few years now, and it's a lot of work, a lot of research. and that's going on, yeah. And also about the CD, mm-hmm. I have been working on the CD for almost 12 years, but it's one of the, for me, one of the greatest projects I've ever done, and I'm just hoping that eventually we'll be able to finish it and get it out by the end of the year. And it's all new material, all original material, I'm very, very pleased about it, yes.
Oh, that sounds like a very exciting project. Okay, and then we know that you'll be in Detroit, and you have a CD.
Yeah,
and then
I just found out it's at the Henry Ford Museum.
How could
I forget that? Mm-hmm. In Dearborn on August 8th.
That's where we had in Dearborn, we had our wedding reception there many, many years ago. That's a fun place, fun place. Okay, Jared, we'll turn it over to you now.
Oh, all right. So, well, a little bit on Henry Ford, actually. That's one of our favorite quotes that Tom and I use in our seminars. It's from Henry Ford, where he says, whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you're right. So you just inspired me there for a moment. So, so Mary,
well, that's
what is your...
That is true. Whatever you put in your mind, that's what's going to happen. So if you put the wrong information in there, it's going to happen.
All right. So, Mary, what is your ultimate definition of success?
Well, that's kind of, it's interesting you would ask that question because I think ultimately I just want to be happy. And for me, that's, you know, that's it. Now, in terms of other things I'd like to pursue, I have loads of those, but I'm already a happy person. I mean, I'm happy because I'm, you know, that's what I decided was my, that's who I am. You know, and when I realized that, then it was like, wow, I'm already successful. But then I don't think I ever want to finish. You know, I still want, as I said, I'm taking acting classes, so I'd like to do some acting. I'd like to do, you know, more Broadway. I've done some off-Broadway plays. I'd love to have a hit record, but that's kind of almost like a lot of things. You know, they have no more mom-and-pop record stores, and mm-hmm. it's hardly any radio where they play new current music. So, you know, a lot of things are changing, and I don't know if all of those things will happen. But to be ultimately happy and successful, I'd just like to continue to be viable and enjoy what I do and to be paid.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You know, Mary...
I'm already doing what I enjoy doing, but to really have a success at say the book becomes a bestseller, you know, and things like that, or have a number one record, all those things are great, or a great TV show, all those things are wonderful. But I'm basically really still very, very happy, and to me that's the most important thing. I know a lot of rich people who are not happy.
Yeah, well, we all do.
Right.
Mary, you write about that people had called you a fence sitter, and you write about it, and I love the explanation that you give in the book. Could you share that with our listeners?
I don't know. I forgot what I wrote. I know what I feel now. Tell me. Remind me.
Well, you said that you choose not to make a decision until you have all the facts.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm one of those people who I am very spontaneous. I will say that. I really am very spontaneous, but I'm not impetuous. You know, I don't just jump at certain things until, not so much that I'm sure, but at least I like to have more information. So a lot of times, rather than reacting in certain situations, I won't. And so that's why I think people call me a fifth-center. And that people tend to think, and we were talking about this in the acting class, they tend to think that I'm maybe not focused, or maybe I'm not whatever. But it has to do with wanting to not make certain mistakes that sometimes you can make when you just react out of a certain emotion. And so that's why I say that I'm a sensitive, but I don't think it's a negative thing. I think I've been very, very, I'm very proud of you know, maybe stopping and waiting before I acted on certain instances.
You know, in your book, you write about the challenges in life that you've been through, and you don't think of challenges as being negative, and they've just made you stronger. And people say you're a survivor, but you dislike that word. Why is that?
Well, I don't say I dislike it. What it is I think that you in traveling and touring and in the journey of your life, you're bound to make some mistakes. Mm-hmm. And so those mistakes I have found, people have kind of maybe said it was, well, I was struggling or whatever. And for me, it was just, you know, you don't have the answer, so you just maybe you do make a couple of mistakes or you stumble. And there are lots of challenges out there. But I just think that that's part of life. I mean, I don't think that life is all great and then there are no bad times. It's like mountains and hills and valleys and all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so I say I don't think of myself as a survivor because I wasn't going after saying, okay, I messed that up, so let me try again. You know, it's just that I wake up every morning and I keep stepping.
Yeah.
So I don't think of myself as a survivor. I think of myself as just trying to discover more of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I'm trying to discover the truth, you know, sometimes there are things that don't go right.
Well, for some people, as you get to be our age, it's just a question of putting one foot out in front of the other and get up and keep going. And we're going to keep going because we're going to hear from a sponsor. And when we come back, we'll be visiting with Mary Wilson.
The moment after you serve your customer, what will they tell the world? Social media has us so connected that a single voice has unprecedented power to benefit and to harm. What do your customers say? Do you know? Do you respond? What do you say? For years, Steve Holtquist has been helping businesses use the Internet to be more productive and successful. Now he's showing businesses how to go back to the future, fostering and empowering relationships. Learn how to work in this new world. Find Steve at InfiniteSummit.com. Are you pursuing your passion, doing what you really want to do in life? Do you ever feel everyone around you is succeeding, leaving you behind, feeling unhappy and unsatisfied with your life? There are many ways to become successful, but getting there is half the battle. In his book, Finding Your Road to Success, How to Get There Without Getting Lost, Patrick Daniel shares tips on what it really takes to be successful. As a CPA, chartered professional accountant, author, life coach, charity founder, investor, and family man, Patrick lives success every day of his life. Connect with Patrick at www.findingyourroadtosuccess.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back. We're visiting with Mary Wilson, and she's a best-selling author. Her book, Dream Girl, My Life is a Scream. She's also a motivational speaker, actress, businesswoman, humanitarian, and former cultural ambassador for the United States Department of State. We're also visiting with Tom and Gracia and Jared Kaminsky, the authors of One Door Closes, Overcoming Adversity by Following Your Dreams. And now, Mary, as we're coming to a close, what helps, how do you get out of bed every morning and get going? Because I know some people, as they get older, it becomes difficult, doesn't it?
Well, who are you talking to? You said doesn't. You're talking to me? I'm not getting older. I told you I was 17.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. I'm 27. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Well, you know, yeah, you're right. I think your energy changes, you know, obviously. When you get older, you don't have as much energy, you know, and your muscles and things get stiff and those kind of things. But I do a lot of yoga. I do the Bikram hot yoga.
Okay.
I do that, and I've been doing it for years, actually, since I first started back in 94, during the time when, well, actually my son died at that same time. And I was doing the yoga. I started yoga back then. And so I've done it ever since, and I drink lots of water. There are lots of things that I do. I do stay active, and I think it all helps. I mean, you can't be sedentary when you get older. You've got to keep moving. And period, even when you're young, movement is the essence of life. You got to move. So that's kind of what gets me in the morning, even though I don't jump up like I used to jump up. I kind of take my time with what I do first. Now I say my little prayers before I jump up. I lay there for a few minutes, you know, before I decide to slide out of bed. So, you know, you have to listen to your body. You have to listen to your body, and you also have to, you know, listen to your brain. You know, your brain will let you know if you can do it, if you can't. You know, it's like, okay, let's just take a few minutes here. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Oh, it sounds good. Tom, would you share with our listeners how grateful you are for having discovered or had this wonderful relationship with Mary Wilson?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, it literally changed my life.
I'm blushing.
You know, and again, you know, I have to thank Mary so much for believing in me and seeing in me things that I didn't see in myself and helping me to see those things in my life and for giving me the opportunity. But I think even beyond that, it's not just me. Mary has been so so giving to so many people throughout her life, and especially young people. You know, she's taken so many young people under her wing and nurtured us and really helped us to achieve the things that we have aspired to achieve. And I think that really is one of her greatest gifts, and one of the greatest gifts that she has given back to the world is that gift of helping us to believe in ourselves and bringing people together. She's so wonderful about bringing people together. So again, everything that I am doing today, I trace back to, you know, when I used to sit and watch the Ed Sullivan Show and watch the Supremes, and suddenly I found myself in the middle of that world.
Oh, wonderful.
Tom,
yes.
There was one story you told me, you and your wife, your beautiful wife, Barb, about when you guys were getting married. Can you tell the audience that? I think it's the most
Just quickly, you know, and we're celebrating our 40th anniversary next month, but we got married on August 23rd, 1975. And I found out about a week before the wedding that the Supremes were going to be on both American Bandstand and Soul Train on August 23rd, 1975. And so I went to Barbara and I said, would it be possible for us to move back the time of our ceremony so that I could watch the Supremes? And she didn't quite understand that, so that didn't work. And then it took me about another 20 years until I was able to find those two performances available on video. That's how devoted I was. That, you know, I even wanted to postpone our wedding ceremony so that I could see the Supremes on TV.
That's a great story. Mary, could you share your thoughts on your experience working with Tom?
Yes. Well, you know, it's great. He gave me a compliment that really is not, I can't accept it completely. You know, when you see the people, you say, I, you know, saw something in him. He is a very dedicated person in terms of his work ethics and things that he just, he goes, if he sees something that needs to be done, he does it. And very rarely do people have that sort of thing today. You know, people are a bit lazy or I don't know what they are. But Tom was not like that. And for me, I just like to see people who are willing to do things, and I just like to share it. So I feel very honored that he would say that, you know, I did those things. I thank you, Tom.
You know, thank you, Mary.
You know, I think it works both ways, you know, and there's certain energies between people. I'm told that it's like 5 feet, I don't know, beyond our bond is our aura is there. And when you meet certain people that it connects. And you don't have to tell or see certain things. It just kind of works. It works together when it's it's like hand and glove. You know, it goes together. And that's kind of what I see in terms of the young people that I've worked with, is that they were just all willing to do what they had to do and what they wanted to do. And to me, that's what makes people happy when you are able or given the space to do the things that you really want to do. And that's the way I see it.
Oh, that's wonderful. And as you close your chapter, you write, and never, ever give up your dreams. Never let anyone tell you that your dreams are silly or unimportant. Know your worth as an individual, and never let anyone take that from you. Dare to dream and to dream big dreams. And Mary Wilson, Tom, and Jared, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's always been a dream of mine to do this interview, and I loved having you with me today.
Oh, great. And didn't you hurt your leg or something? I hope you're better. You're all right? You're walking?
Yeah, oh, thank you, sweetheart. I had hip replacement, so I'm kind of hobbling. Thank you.
It'll heal. Okay. Well, nice to speak with everyone. Jared, you as well. Nice after all this time. Tom, thank you for such a wonderful compliment. That was more than I, you know, kind of deserve. I think giving is something that we all should do. And, you know, I'll tell you, I'll close by saying one thing. My mom, who couldn't read nor write, I learned so much from her. She was a real angel as far as I was concerned. She never told me much, but it was just the way she lived her life. And I learned just from that. And I think that's kind of more important than someone telling you what to do or what you should do or can't do. It's just that it's who you are, and you do what you have to do, and people will get it. You know. So thank you.
Well, this has been a great show to my wonderful listeners. We hope you've enjoyed our show today as much as we enjoy doing it. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. If you would like to be a guest or advertise, just go to januaryjones.com. We really love sharing our stories and our struggles and our secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear friends, stop with the whining and then start smiling and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, you can start eating chocolate, lots and lots. Again, thank you to my wonderful guest and co-host today, Mary Wilson, Tom Ingracia, and Jared Kaminsky. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sorantos.
This is Sorantos, and you're listening to January Jones. This is Sorantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.